And then I would invite folks to go ahead and close your eyes, make yourself comfortable. And maybe start by taking a few nice, long, deep breaths. Feeling the breath as it enters the body, as it fills the body, and as it leaves the body. And as you're focusing on the breath, to become aware of the body, perhaps noticing if there are any places of tension or tightness. Maybe with the next inhalation, breathing into those places, sending extra breath to those places, and allowing the tension to let go with the exhalation. And then taking a moment to check in with the emotions. Notice how you're feeling right now. Are there any particular emotions present currently? Seeing if you can just notice that, not needing to change it or do anything about it, but just notice. And then checking in with the mind. What's the state of the mind right now? Is it quiet? Busy? Focused? Again, just noticing. And then one more nice, long, deep breath, letting all of that go. Take a moment now to see yourself standing on the street in your neighborhood. You have a clipboard in hand and something to write with. You've been tasked with gathering some information. You've been asked to notice, what are people up to right now? How are people using their time in these different times? You've been asked simply to go around the neighborhood and observe, not having any opinions, not drawing any conclusions. You're simply jotting down what you see. You're just gathering information about what you see people are up to in this time. And you've made some good notes so far as you've gone around. And as you make your way down the street, you come to the house of, and now fill your name in here. So in my imagery, I've now arrived at Jen's house. This is just another neighbor. You are simply going to observe. In some magical, non-interfering, non-intrusive, non-judgmental way that you know how, you are just here to observe this person. So just settle in for a moment, unnoticed, and begin to observe. what is this person? Again, in my case, it would be Jen. What is this person up to? What are they doing? What are they eating? Time speeds up, and you're able to see this person in all parts of their day. How are they spending their time? What items are around this person? Books? Food? Drinks? Devices? Again, you're just observing. What's different for this person than, say, 2 weeks ago? What's the same? What patterns do you see in how this person is currently going about life? So it looks like star six or mute if you're currently unmuted. What patterns do you see as this person goes through their days as they are currently? Are there rhythms to the day? And now your magical superpowers grow here beyond the ability to see in time lapse and into reading minds. And as you sit quietly observing this person, you are able to tune into the conversation in their mind. What sorts of things are happening in their mind? Are there certain conversations that are happening repeatedly? Is there a tone to the conversation? See if you can get a sense of the dominant themes. And now take a moment to observe anything else there is to see here with this neighbor, about their environment, internal or external. And when you feel like you've seen what there is to see for now, begin to leave the house, returning to the street, clipboard in hand, ready to relay your results. And then begin to bring the attention back to the breath, back to the body. Back to the workshop. And at the end of the next exhalation, if you would please open your eyes and make some notes about what you saw. And if you would begin to wrap up your notes, if you're still writing. So a reminder that everyone is muted. In order to participate, you can press *6 to unmute. And if you would be sure that you are muted when you're not actively in the queue, or even if you are actively in the queue, but you're not the one speaking at the time, if you would just make sure you're muted so that, as I say, we've got a lot of folks on this call, so we just want to keep the background noise to a minimum. And so, yes, please press *6 if you're ready to be in the queue. And who would like to start us?
Jill, Laura,
Mark.
Jill, Laura, Mark. Okay, we'll start there. Great, Jill.
Well, it's funny because I just got off the phone with my parents right before this, and I just saw the most amazing thing. I mean, I only spoke with them for a couple minutes, which is, you know, a typical New England phone call, frankly. I felt like I had to make them feel like I'm doing okay. And so my whole short conversation with them was just reporting on all the things I'm doing to make sure I'm okay, how lucky I am and how grateful I am. So, you know, when I was writing the notes about, you know, observing this person, Jill, I don't know, that one stuck out to me as like a, you know, a, just a very powerful insight and something that I do a lot, and I had never seen that before.
Wow, it's just a brand new mirror to look in. So it's I'm projecting all those things are true. You do have a lot to be grateful for. You are doing a lot to take care of Jill. You are completely okay. Mm-hmm. But in looking at it, you saw this tendency underneath there to want to make sure they know that you're okay and that you've never seen that before. It feels like a really powerful insight.
I'm just absolutely thrilled because it you know, it just prevented me from really hearing them or being, you know, having a, just having a connection with them. It was just coming from a different, you know, that the conversation I was having with them, my end of it felt like it was coming from a karmic place, an old karmic place. And I just loved that I saw that.
Yes. Yeah. It's so amazing. And it just feels like as you're talking, it reminds me how, you know, in a situation like this, I mean, in any situation, anytime, everywhere, in every moment. But again, we all keep saying that this is an enormous opportunity because everything's brand new. So there's a way in which conditioning can be caught off guard so we can really see things that we haven't seen before, right? And so we're all going to do what we do. Of course we're going to do what we do. That's how else would it go, right? And so Jill has this really long-standing pattern, and that's how she's going to interact with her parents. Of course it is. But the opportunity is to see it. And in seeing it, I predict just seeing it, there's this whole other thing possible in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and my smile is a mile wide hearing that reflected back. So, yeah, really exciting. Thank you so much.
It is. Thank you, Jill. Laura.
What I was seeing, I think, is I think what I've been getting in touch with lately is just all the self-hate that's happening for me right now.
I feel quite certain, just looking at my own experience, that you're not alone in that. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's kind of the it's like I can see what's possible, and I hear people talking about what's possible, and it's just not my experience. At least at certain points, it is not my experience right now.
And you know, Laura, that just feels so important, doesn't it? Because it's the thing that we talk about all the time in practice, which is that the only place, and the pronouns always get tricky in a situation like this, but the only place I can start is where I am.
Mm-hmm.
And this idea, this illusion that there's some places are better than others, which I project as that place where I think it comes from the 12 step, don't judge your insides by other people's outsides, right? Yeah. So it's that place of I look out there and conditioning projects, look at them. You know, they're having this experience and I'm not having that experience. And that robs us of the realization that we could say the portal to acceptance, to well-being, to compassion, to, for me, is what's here right now for me, regardless of what that is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's exactly what's happening. And it's happening in comparison sort of with Sangha members, you know, of, well, everybody else is just fine, and, but also just internally, like, well, you could be doing this, or you could, you know what would take care of you, and you're not doing it, and...
Oh, God, it's so unhelpful, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just say one quick thing, Laura, because it feels like we're so at the beginning of this, I don't even know what to call it, really, exploration time. I mean, literally in this call, we're at the very beginning, but it looks like we're at the beginning of something that could be a while. And so it feels so important that often it just feels like with any, it's interesting actually that we're in beginnings, right, in the year-long retreat, that with beginnings, it feels like a lot of times there's sort of a, I don't know, for whatever reason, one particular energy maybe comes out of the gate first. And so that's what it seems like must be everyone's experience. But it feels really courageous and important that everyone tell us what's going on, because that's what creates the texture of the true practice that I think we're all going to be called to. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. And my experience varies so widely from hour to hour, day to day.
Absolutely. Yeah. And let me ask you this, Laura. Do you have a sense of, how to ask it? So there's a lot of self-hate kicked up. The question I want to ask, if you can translate it, is do you have a sense of why? It's not quite the question, but that might lead you to the place. In other words, can you kind of see what the components are, or what's kicking up the storm, or are there any sort of fleeting inklings of any of that?
I mean, it kind of feels like sort of kicking me when I'm down, you know, that I'm, just struggling with fear and hearing about other people and being worried and sort of kind of just being able to be with that, you know, that it's...
God, it's so cruel, isn't it? But that's it, you know? That's it. So challenging things happen. And And we have a practice. We do have a practice. But when it's really, when it really cuts to those core things for us, it can take a while for us to kind of, I don't know, get our sea legs, if you will. Like, we're in a totally new situation here. And if I'm someone who, on the content level, is really kind of on the front lines, if you will, it's going to take some time for to kind of get a sense of how to really support this person in this, how to practice with this, how to be with this. And so, you know, ego just sees that opening and just goes for it, right? As you say, kicks us when we're down. And so, I mean, that was part of what hoping what some folks would get from the imagery of just noticing the behaviors of the person and getting it that, this is another clumsy way to say it, but in a sense, there are reasons she's doing those things. It's not because she's a bad person. It's not because she's weak. It's not because she's, you know, there are, in this case, if she's under a whole lot of self-hate in a time where she needs the exact opposite, she needs a ton of support, then we're going to reach for the things that are going to get us through. We're going to basically, you know, go into survival, you might say.
Yeah. And I did it too in a recording last night, and that was kind of part of what came out was like, you know, it's like, this is not a small thing she's dealing with right now, you know? This is really
exactly.
big.
Exactly. She didn't stub her toe. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the other thing that's been helping is just like saying, you know, Sherry talks about with grief, you know, like just no standards. And this is kind of a grief process right now, you know? Just my life has suddenly changed, and you know, and just kind of being like no standard zone.
Oh, that's so good, Laura. That is so good.
Yeah,
the no standard zone. And I hope with some of the with an upcoming exercise that you'll really get to explore that some more, because that just feels, I feel like you really just hit it on the head. No standard zone. It's brand new territory. Give us all time to, you know, to see what's here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mark.
Hi, Jen. You know, the thing about this for me was we live on a farm, and so it's common for us to not go anywhere for a day or two, and, you know, a little unusual to not go somewhere for a week, but it does happen. So in some sense, really, not much has changed in terms of going out of the house, and yet I find myself filled with it feeling very different because, you know, somehow I know I shouldn't go, or I'm not going to go out of the house. And so what I saw in that was really how it's easy to live my life in the anticipation of what life is about as opposed to what life actually is. You know, I mean, I'm not doing anything today than I was doing yesterday or the day before, and yet somehow in my mind I've created this anxiety that, oh, I need to go out. It's like, well, what do I need to go out for? I didn't need to go out before. Why do I need to go out now?
Because I can't go out. That's why I need to go out, right?
Yes.
Again,
it's
such a classic mirroring what's always going on for us, but we don't realize it.
Right.
I mean, I think we're living the parallel life down here at the monastery with you, Mark, right? Same, you know, exact same for us, and watching that same process of, but the idea of it is different. Someone was talking in another setting around that they have this big event planned later for the summer, and kind of it was such a involved thing that they were spending a lot of time, they had been spending a lot of time planning it. And then, of course, it's most likely canceled. And then watching the process of the disappointment around that, but realizing in this moment, nothing has changed, only the idea of that thing not happening, right?
Yeah.
It's just such an interesting place to practice.
Yeah, the other thing I saw when you asked us to kind of look at the person and look at what they're surrounded by and what's going on with them, I mean, I'm surrounded by tools and fixing things and, you know, animals and all that farmy stuff. And I realized how much I look like a human doing instead of a human being, and how really dependent I am in an unhealthy way, I think, to needing all those things to keep me occupied.
Uh-huh.
And you know, I just had an experience with a friend who lost his mobility. He's in a wheelchair, and I really have, of course, you never know what you'll do when you're, until you're in a situation, but there's just no doubt in my mind that I would end my life if I were in a situation like this guy is. Mm-hmm. And I think, what does that really say about how I'm living my life if, and he certainly has full awareness, even though he has no mobility and no ability, real ability to interact much with his hands or with his legs at all. He's still fully alert, still sees his kids, still laughs, still talks to people. And yet I don't feel like I'm a person who could survive having that life. And yet that's really what practice is about, is living, you know, living the experience and not needing to go out and dig a hole.
That's right. That's right. And so, again, it just sounds like what you're seeing is this new circumstance is mirroring something for you that's always been there, but you're really getting to see it now, and you're bringing it into your practice, right, to see, oh, that is, wow, that's interesting. And, again, it feels like the opportunity for all of us is to really get to know that guy kind of exactly in the way we were looking at in the imagery. But you're just a neighbor who is really fond of this guy. You really like him. You know he's a good guy. And you're just getting to know him and see what his patterns are. And in this case, you're seeing, wow, he's really on the move here. And then because you're inside of his experience, what you know is there's a whole lot about that. There, again, like we were looking at with Laura, he's on the move kind of, quote, for a reason, in the sense that, you know, there's stuff going on with him that's driving that, we could say, karmically. And so in seeing that, that begins to open the space to kind of have another relationship potentially with that and get to be with that in another way should we choose to.
Yeah. You know, the other thing I noticed was I always wear a headset, like ear protectors, because frequently I need ear protection for whatever I'm doing, and then that allows me to listen to podcasts, or I can listen to things like sometimes I listen to open air that way or whatever. And I realized looking at myself walking around, I never don't have a headset on. And I'm always filling my head with something. You know, I'm not only painting, I'm listening to a podcast about, you know, coronavirus or whatever I'm listening to. And that's another reflection of this sort of a addictive, you know, behavior to consuming not only my physical capacity, but my mental capacity as well.
Yes, yes, yeah. And can you get a sense from that, Mark, how powerful it is to simply see that, just notice that, without now setting out on a program to change him?
Yes. Oh, I have a keen sense. In fact, the email program, the other day I had an insight about that, about the beginnings thing. It was, you know, I found myself on recording kind of saying, well, isn't it really great you can see this and you can see that. And it's like my shoulder was getting sore from patting myself on the back, you know. And I thought, well, what is the place in practice for, like, doing what you just did in a sense, you know, congratulating myself for being able to see something now that I couldn't see before, because it sure felt like I was living in the past and I was in some kind of dance with ego rather than being content about being able to see something now that I couldn't see before.
And are you saying, Mark, that it feels like that sort of patting myself on the shoulder is kind of a process you see that ego's wanting to take it away in that sense? Or I couldn't tell where.
Yeah, because... Yeah, well, I mean, when I look at that and I say, how is that different from living in the past and being unhappy with what I saw back? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you my experience, and you just see if this resonates for you. That to me, in that I'm going around and I'm suddenly, for whatever grace, right? I'm just seeing the patterns. Wow, I'm seeing this, and it's. Of course, I'm in presence in order to be able to see it, right? And then that's so exciting and lovely that that's calling me to want to stay present. And in my experience, that, quote, patting on the back is the only option the conditioned process has at that point to get my attention. Oh, wow, that's great. You're really doing great. Boy, you're seeing a lot. Boy, you're really seeing a lot. And it's a very subtle place because it's, to be able to, you know, get on the recorder and say, wow, I'm seeing this thing, and I'm so grateful that I'm seeing this thing. I'm so grateful for practice and Sangha for helping me see this thing, and here's what I'm seeing. And that, to me, is a really different process than you are really doing great. Because in my experience, that you are really doing great, all it's doing is getting me attention, just quietly getting me attention, and as soon as it has it, it's going to say something along the lines of what? Well, you're not going to be able to keep it up. Well, you're not doing as well today as you were yesterday.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly, I had that feeling. I couldn't articulate it the way you just did. But yeah, I had a sense that, you know, there's something sneaking up on me here.
Yeah, which is not at all. Then I project, once you see something like that, it's going to say, so be careful. Don't get too big for your britches. Don't recognize what a great job Mark is doing. That's completely different. Right?
Yes.
That's a completely different process. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
None of it's personal. And we can be revel in the fact that we are inside a particular human experience. That's an extraordinary thing to recognize and to celebrate and all of those things.
Right, right. Yeah, that's great. Thanks very much, Jen.
Yeah, thank you, Mark. Who else?
Miriam.
Joyce. Miriam. Joyce and Michael. Hi. Hi, Miriam.
Hi. Hi, Jen. Thank you so much for doing this.
Oh, pleasure, pleasure.
So what I saw was a person who is so, 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 so grateful that she fell into practice about a year and a half ago because she doesn't know how she'd be dealing with this current situation if she hadn't.
I mean, it can make a person religious, couldn't it?
Yeah, pretty spiritual anyway.
Good point, good point.
So what was interesting for me was on Thursday I called in for the retreat for the year long, and the recording didn't work. And I just so happened I was the first caller, and I was so nervous, and I had this buzzing in my ears, and I couldn't quite understand what Sherry was saying. So I said, well, I'll be able to listen to it after. Mm. And then, so the recording didn't work. And then when I saw that, I said, why does this always happen to me? And then this light bulb, this gazillion watt light bulb went off, and I had to laugh. And I said it didn't happen, quote, to me, unquote. It just happened.
That's right.
And with that, all the worries and fears I had about what I didn't do to prepare for a catastrophe, what the catastrophe might bring in the future, fell away. And because in this present moment, right this very second right now, I have everything I need.
And
that
so,
is
Miriam,
what practice.
And that is what practice
brought me to.
Yes. I mean, it's extraordinary because, you know, what Sherry will often say, and many spiritual types as well, life doesn't happen to me, it happens for me, that everything is for my benefit. And so I love that progression because there's the voice just ready to put it right back in the karmic slot, right? Why does this always happen to me? But you're present and you hear that. And so you realize it isn't personal, just like we were looking at with Mark a minute ago. It just happened. And then in that, this whole big thing is revealed, falls away, and then we get to see, oh, maybe that's what folks are pointing at when they say everything happens for me. Because sure, if you had had that recording and been able to listen back to it, no doubt you would have seen things and there would have been, you know, realizations of that. But would you ever have gotten to that huge place and seen that piece of karma fall away? We don't know.
I don't know. And what was really interesting, I think day six assignment was to see what other subpersonalities we weren't aware of yet, and I clearly saw the victim.
And there it is. That's so great.
Oh, it's
That's
so,
so
great.
Wonderful. And so what we can, you know, kind of applying it to this particular workshop, this particular time, what we can know is and I'm sure this is true for all of us, Miriam, but the victim is going to show up. Absolutely. And now that you're so, you've had such a tangible experience of that, it can be in your awareness. And now you know you have a tool to work with that when it does come up, because it will.
It will.
Yeah.
It never does go away, does it? The voices and the negativity and...
Right. It feeds on our attention. And so if it has our attention, there it is. When our attention is not on it, it's not that, in my experience, it's not that it doesn't try. It's just that, well, my attention is not on it, so it's not the experience I'm having.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, Miriam.
But I'm very, very grateful for all the opportunities for practice.
Yeah. We're so lucky. Thank you.
Very lucky.
Take care.
You too.
Joyce, did I hear you next? Not sure
yes,
I heard that
thank
right.
Thank you.
Yes? Okay.
Excuse me. I got on late, so I wasn't sure what we were doing. And it was perfect because it seems like what all that's happening right now and that's happened in my life, one of the hardest things is that, okay, I'm a little shook up here. That I can never catch up. I can never catch up. I'm never enough. I'm always behind. Not enough time. Flustered and have to meet other people's needs. You know, this thing that just goes on and on and on. And I kind of went back to seeing that as a child, and what I did is I would just go into the woods. I would go into the woods because I lived kind of in the edge of the woods, and I could be there free and just explore and be with all the animals and what was going on, and not have to meet needs. And
so, Joyce, may I gently interrupt you just right there?
Sure.
So one thing I want to do with this is, so you mentioned that you got in late. Are you saying you weren't able to do the imagery? You didn't do the imagery with us?
I did part of the imagery. I didn't know exactly what I was doing. I just went.
Okay. Well, here would be my encouragement. Is to, first of all, this is recorded, so that's good. This is recording.
Yay.
We got lucky there today with the technology. Is to go back after this call and get to actually do the imagery. And it might be interesting for you, you know, it sounds like there's a kind of a karma to, you know, get pushed into being behind and I didn't get the ha-ha and I didn't, to see if maybe there was a setup around that as the workshop began. And so I am going to move on to get to hear from folks who were able to do the imagery so that we get to kind of fill out the experience of the workshop. But that might be a really neat thing for you to look at and then to report back, you know, on your recorder, calling into open air, in other practice forums. That makes sense?
Great. What I did get to is something that is very deeply karmic, and it feels that that's like, it's big. So thank you.
Yeah, good.
I'll do that.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Joyce.
Mm-hmm.
Michael, I think we have time for, one more.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jen. This is fabulous, this call. And what I saw in the imagery is a guy who's doing the best he can.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Under
a guy who's doing the best he can.
New circumstances. I can feel the emotion come.
Yeah.
I can feel the emotion come up as I talk. Doing the best you can under less than ideal circumstances, and without enough space or privacy or solitude, and practicing restraint in religious observances sometimes, so that karma doesn't continue out. That's what I saw. Yeah, just critical.
You know, Michael, I just have goosebumps as you're speaking, because it reminds me of what we were talking about with Laura, where I feel like everyone adding in their experience of this time, which, again, no different than, I mean, I think that's one of the extraordinary things about Sangha, is that, you know, as one person, I'm only living in certain circumstances, but through Sangha, there's a way in which I get to live all of it.
Yes.
And so because our circumstances are different, you know, so there's Mark on his farm and here's the monks at the monastery. And you know what? You know, we live on 320 acres. And, I mean, we're kind of set up to live in quarantine. So different things are going to be triggered in different circumstances. And so it just feels so crucial, because even in just what you said, I saw so much. Like, for example, there you are. You're in a confined space. And so that's going to bring up all kinds of stuff for you, and it's going to bring up all kinds of stuff for everyone else in your household. So then you've got a whole bunch of people in a small space, and each of them has everything they have coming up. And then you put that all in the mix together. Wow, talk about a time to stand back and say, we are really all doing the best we can here.
Yeah. Michael in his two small apartments doing the best he can. And it's a space to find a lot of compassion and generosity, and just incredibly grateful for this practice opportunity and all of them, because I sense we're all, you know, we always needed them, you know, intensely. Yeah. And now we really, really, really need them. Intense.
Yeah. And that's so beautifully put, Michael, because we did always need them. We've sat on a number of calls already. It was always life and death, but now it's obvious.
Yes.
Because it's funny, isn't it, Michael? Because in a way, the confined space, I just saw this metaphor, is almost what happens to ego on retreat. Like, I got to change my shoes. I got to wash my hands. I got to, oh my God. And this, all this, there's a tightness to it where ego gets backed into a corner. And in our everyday lives, there's a way in which there's the quote space for ego to do what it wants, which translates to control me. And it's not that it's not stripped away at all. I mean, that's part of what the imagery I think was pointing at is, you know, are there people with a ton of alcohol now in their pantry? I'm sure. And freezers full of ice cream. And no wonder, yes, because ego is backed into a corner, and as a result, it's going to torture us all bloody until it gets what it wants. And the opportunity in that is to allow it to be cornered, allow all of it to come up, but it has to be in that container of compassion, right? Because without the compassion, we're sunk. We're just in a world of self-hate.
Yes. And so what drops in with that is something I've heard many times, is that my opportunity is to refuse to be tortured.
Yes. Yes.
And that is such a powerful place for me.
It's so powerful.
To be refused to be tortured by, what I'm tortured by all the time and comes up now and come up before and probably come up again, and I refuse to be tortured.
Yep. And I think it's the most heroic thing we can do and the greatest gift to all.
Yep.
And it's almost sort of a prayer, right now of may that be what's available to as many people as possible, knowing that we're in really hard circumstances. I mean, in varying degrees, some people are in really hard, sort of what you would say empirically hard circumstances. A lot of us are in the hard circumstances of ego can't get what it wants. And so it's going to turn inward on us, right? And those kinds of hard circumstances. And so just, boy, may we, to the best of our abilities, be able to choose that, be able to be that. And from what I'm hearing, you know, you're starting to see kind of miraculous little inklings of that on social media and that sort of thing, that that there are people who are seeing that possibility.
Mm. Can you say more? Seeing the possibility of?
Seeing the possibility of being with this, it, having this mirror us in a whole different way, and being able to take a foray into choosing, making different choices. I mean, essentially, what I hear, the translation of it is the quality of our lives is determined by the focus of our attention. And that people are sensing that, you know, that place of, you know, okay, I'm in really hard, I'm in a wheelchair, I'm in prison, I'm in, I've got a, you know, a terminal illness, I lost a loved one, I, can I choose how I want to be with that? And we've heard that over and over and over historically in empirically hideous circumstances that people have miraculously been able to train and make that choice.
Yeah, and you've probably heard this also. I'm not sure it's true, but I've heard that in Chinese that the word for crisis is made up of two characters, which is problem and opportunity. And so I don't want to forget the opportunity piece of this, which is, I think, what you're pointing at. It is the new opportunity that is available now.
Yep, absolutely. Yep. And the portal to that opportunity feels like it has to be the acceptance and the compassion. Again, like we were looking at, like Laura, each of us has the, we could say, responsibility, sacred duty to start where we are, because that's where we are. That's what we've been given in this moment, whatever that is.
Thank you, Jen.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, everyone.
All right, we're going to do another exercise. So I would invite folks once again to close your eyes. And again, just take a moment to focus the attention on the breath. Feeling the sensations of the breath in the body. And then if you would, make your way back to that last house you visited in our previous imagery. That lovely neighbor that you were observing. And see yourself walking up to the front door and knocking. And see that good human open the door, greet you, and invite you in. The two of you sit together in a nice spot in the home and begin to talk. And this person, this neighbor that you're speaking to, senses that they have a kind, patient listener in front of them. And they begin to open up to speak about their experience, to tell you what's been going on with them in this time. Just listen. Just hear what's going on for this person. And now we're going to invite you, staying in the, we could say, the energy of the imagery, staying in that place with that person in the house, we're going to invite you to do a recording. And you can choose to do that in the way that seems to fit best for you right now. So you might perhaps simply press record and allow the dialogue between you and this person to be recorded. You might choose to let the person speak, listen back to that recording, and then respond to what arises for you. You're using the recorder to be with this person. And as you speak together, the two of you, I would ask you to weave in somewhere in your conversation these two questions. Asking the person, how would you like it to be? And the second question, how can I assist? So again, you're going to have a conversation with this person, just listening in a dialogue, however that happens for you, making a recording, weaving in the two questions, how would you like it to be, and how can I assist? It is 3 minutes before the hour right now. You're welcome to either hop off the call to do the recording or to simply mute your, well, we're all muted, so you wouldn't need to do that, but to just stay on the call. And we're going to call back in at 7 minutes after the hour. So you'll have 10 minutes to make this recording, weaving in the two questions, how would you like it to be? How can I assist? And we'll call back in. We'll resume the call at 7 minutes past the hour. All right. So welcome back. And I'm going to ask folks, what did you notice as you did that imagery and did the recording afterwards?
Anna.
And in order to participate, press *6 to unmute. And who was that?
Andrea.
Anna.
Carol and Sharon. Okay, we'll go with those to start. Hang on, let me just get it. It was Andrea,
yes.
Anna, Carol, and Sharon. Okay, we'll start there. Great. Andrea.
Hi. Can you hear me?
I can hear you perfectly.
Oh, great. Okay. So I guess what I'm noticing is this has been really helpful, the recording. And I really didn't think it would be very helpful, but it is. And I'm seeing
there's a lot in that, isn't there? That won't be helpful. I'm not going to have that experience.
Yeah.
Desperately hoping, even if we, quote, do the recording, we won't be there for it, so we won't get to actually have the experience. Yes.
Yeah, and I actually saw a lot. I mean, there was a lot in my head, and it's amazing just how I'm able to record, how that just gets it all out. And so what I was noticing was with the assistance, really it's just remembering to do the practice and to do more recording and listening and also to look at my sub-personalities and see if there's any new ones that I haven't seen, because I'm one of the people who actually is going into work. And so basically Monday through Friday I go into work and work in a large place with, you know, like, God, probably 100 people. And so, you know, there's this person, I feel like I'm identified with this really stoic person who's just, you know, kind of surviving it, you know, like, there's a lot of judgment because I don't think people are doing enough distancing. There's not enough hand sanitizer. I'm being given these folders that about 20 people have touched. And so I'm wearing gloves for over eight hours a day. And yeah, so I just feel like I would love to just be at home. And I'm Yeah, I mean, I'm grateful to be at home right now. I'm really, really grateful.
Yeah.
And I'm privileged to live in a place which is a nice place to be, and there's a lot of open
mm-hmm.
space. But it's really when I'm, you know, at work that there, you know, I just feel
yeah.
like kind of like there's a rock over my head, and that's where I'm having
yeah.
difficulty.
And are you saying, Andrea, that what you realized in this exercise was, wow, there's kind of, there's this idea, it sounds like, from what you're saying, like,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I kind of know what's going on with me, and what's going on with me is, you know, there's a stoic thing happening at work, and people aren't really doing this, and this. So in other words, there's a lot of conversation happening in the head, which,
mm-hmm.
you know, we might be vaguely aware of, but
right.
then actually recording about it and getting to squarely look at it,
yeah.
that's a whole different experience, isn't it?
It is, it is. And the other thing I saw, the overarching thing that I saw, is it's my same process I do again and again, which is I'm not doing it right. I'm not feeling how I should be feeling. I'm not
yeah.
feeling, you know, like I'm feeling grateful, but I'm not feeling enough compassion. I'm not feeling enough fear. And, you know, I'm feeling, you know, I'm not feeling connected enough to people, because when I'm stuck in this kind of stoic surviving mode, I feel very disconnected.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm with self-hate, so.
Yeah. And it sounds like what you and your neighbor got to is how I'd like it to be. Is I'd like to be held in practice, in presence,
mm-hmm. yeah.
instead of trapped in a conversation with conditioned mind.
Exactly.
So who I want to be at home with is I want to be at home with presence and compassion and the mentor. I don't want to be trapped in lockdown with the voices.
Exactly. I don't want to be in lockdown. I don't want to be in, what is it called, stay in place or something?
Shelter in place.
Shelter in
term.
Place. Yeah, I don't want to be in shelter in place with self-hate. I want to be in shelter in place with authenticity. That's what I want.
Oh, gosh. Amen, Andrea. Amen. And that, I mean, recording and listening, they, you know, it's always helpful. I always hear Sherry say, you know, choosing one thing for whatever period of time, the day or the week or whatever. And what I hear you saying is, let's focus on recording right now, recording and listening. Right?
Yeah,
and if other ideas occur to us, great, but let's really focus on that one.
And I have to tell you something. At work, it's not so easy because I'm wearing my gloves. So what I do is I take them off, and then, like, I carefully take one glove off. Then I take my phone carefully. I put on my earbuds, and then I press,
you
know.
Good for you.
Yeah, and then I put my gloves back on. So it's hard to do it, but I'm trying.
It's good for you. And here's what I hope for you. I just dropped in. I had this image yesterday, Andrea, of how, wow, you know, every time I wash my hands, which as many of you have been to the monastery, so you know that's not a small number of times, right,
no.
when you live at the monastery. Every single time I'm doing it, I'm doing my faithful happy birthday twice, every single time. And what I realized is that's an extraordinary act of love. And so as I'm washing my hands, I could be saying, and I love this person, and I love that,
mm-hmm.
and I love this, and I love this. And that could be the focus of attention as I'm washing my hands, because that is why I'm doing it, because I love Jen, because I love everyone around me, because I love humanity, because I love life. And I just saw that same thing with your, you know, so you're the reason you're taking off that glove, taking the time, oh, such a huge pain, my God, you know, I have to da-da-da. But I'm doing it because I love Andrea. And then that could be part of the practice is, I love you, Andrea, as I take my glove off, as I do all the steps that are taken, I'm willing to, because that's how much I want to support you in this time.
Oh, those are great ideas. And I think if I'm able to do that, you know, then I can, you know, it'll help us identify from that stoic self-hate and slide into the authenticity.
Yes, absolutely. Yep. Brilliant.
Yeah, thank you.
Anna. Hi. Yeah, Anna here.
Anna. Great.
I had a very heart-opening experience during the exercise when you would come to visit, you know, your neighbor who, I think I understood it right, like, who is yourself? So visiting yourself. And oh my gosh, yeah, I had like tears well up, and just about gratitude, like I felt so embraced and loved and welcomed by the person, you know, that I was visiting. It was amazing. Oh my gosh.
Mm.
And like, Lovely. Like 2 days ago, actually, and the relationship I was in with a man, with you know, my boyfriend, and actually, life unfolded that we broke up. And yeah, but I don't know. Just this exercise, I'm feeling okay. wow. And I know all the circumstances in the world are very, very, very challenging, but I'm just so thankful, to have myself as a neighbor. That's pretty cool.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. You know, it's such a perfect metaphor, isn't it, Anna? I just saw a whole other level of it as you were saying that, because especially in this culture, we don't really know our neighbors. I'm way too busy to get to know my neighbor, right? I've got things to do. And to realize I can get to know my actual neighbors and this neighbor that's so close to me that I generally don't pay that much attention. I mean, of course, as practitioners, we tend to, but even still, I think for a lot of us, we're seeing a whole other level of how I'm too busy to get to know this neighbor that's me. And that actually having the gift to do that and feeling so welcomed by that. And I project, what a big milestone for you to go through another really big transition, the end of a relationship, and not that it doesn't bring all the challenges, very likely it brings, but to be able to realize you're okay. That's huge.
And usually I have that thing, you know, my life is not that different right now yet. I mean, but usually I have all the voices telling me, oh, you know, you should be doing this. Everybody else is having such a great time and doing all these awesome things. And somehow now you can't say that, you know, because everybody is social distancing. And I don't know. It's,
Yes, exactly. I mean, again, in whatever way we tend to be tortured, whatever the habitual grooves are that we get stuck in, we're hearing it from everyone, those are going to get really mirrored and we're going to get to see other things. So for you right now, that place where you get compared, like everybody's off doing these amazing things and I'm not, there's a whole different sense of that right now than there tends to be. And for you right now, things haven't changed that much. And you said yet, which I think is such an interesting piece of it, right? Without needing to go make up stories and get all dire about what's going to happen, the other thing we know is we don't know.
Right.
Again, we always say that, but if you'd asked any of us 3 weeks ago, hey, what's, you know, on March 20th, what are you going to be doing? Oh, blah, 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 blah. And about 0.01% of that is what's actually happening now.
Right, and I actually would be in England and Germany at this time. Yeah.
There you go. So actually, that is pretty different.
Okay, well, thank you. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Anna. Yep, thank you. Okay. I think Carol was next, Sharon, and then I heard Jen Y also.
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can.
Oh, wonderful. Let's see. So how would you like it to be? Well, I guess how I would like it to be, you know, so I'm supporting myself with all these different practices, and I've made all these commitments, like I'm kind of duplicating the schedule at the monastery, getting up and meditating at 7:30, getting up at 7, and breakfast, and then listening to the radio program. And so there's all these things that I'm doing. And then when I was asked how could I be assisted, it was like I wanted recognition for the things that I'm doing, you know, because it's easy to get into that ego space of you're not doing enough, or you're not doing things to help other people. So, so what I've been doing is recording and listening a lot, and I'll and I made a commitment to every morning I'll listen to one of those love letters I wrote to myself, so that's really fun to me. And another thing is, you know, in other recordings, it just reassure me that that my feelings are going to change from moment to moment. And if I'm in a moment of fear or despair, that's where I am, but that's going to switch to something else. And then I'll be in gratitude or appreciation or you know, or longing or whatever. But it's, and that really helps reassure me.
Well, and it's such a good point, Carol. It takes me back to the conversation with Miriam to truly remember that whatever's here, I think Rumi has a poem like that, the guest house, whatever's here, whatever shows up, you know, fear, excitement, enthusiasm, whatever it is, that's the gift in this moment. And we can't always see it. We don't always necessarily experience it that way. But to bring that attitude of mind to it can be so amazing, especially in a time like this, because it is going to change. It's going to change moment by moment, internally and externally. Things are changing so quickly. And so to be able to have that skill to be with all of it, realize it's all for me, I can metaphorically be with that neighbor through all of it. I'm not alone. None of us is alone. Is an amazing tool to have at all times, and especially in times like this.
Right. And another thing that I want to do is I want to take my care of myself in such a way through practice that I'm available to other people, you know, for reflective listening and drawing them out and all that, because I see a great need for that. And I see that I can go out, I'm doing a lot of talking with people, but some of it is they're talking, I'm talking, they're talking, because they're all kind of agitated, but they're not much listening. There's not much listening. And so my commitment is to do a lot of recording and listening so I can be available to other people. And when I'm available to other people, then I'm not caught up in whatever ego thing it is. I'm not caught up in worry or even a big, huge need to speak at this exact moment, because I'm just focused on listening to them. So
it just
adds a sense of calm for me.
Yes, exactly so. Exactly so. That the recording and listening is a tool of listening and being heard. You know, and we all want to be heard. We all want to be heard. I mean, that's why, you know, I mean, I think different people have different sort of karmic dispositions, right? Maybe some people in a time like this are going to withdraw and they want to, no, I don't want any part of any of that. Other people are going to, you know, be talking a lot, right? But in some way, we all want to be heard. And so what I hear you saying is when we can provide that as a process for ourselves that live in being heard, that makes us available in a really amazing way. Well, just that. It makes us available in a really amazing way, in whatever way life might be calling us to be available.
Great. So this is a time for, you know, I get into a dire state. I mean, rarely, and it's just like I just see opportunity and just, oh, the joy. You know, there's some new flower. There's a sunset. There's so much joy available. So, the sense of opportunity.
Giving us. The opportunity.
Yeah, and so I'm practicing a lot of gratitude, too. And so just what I was saying, you know, it's important for me to recognize all these things that I'm doing and have the mentor recognize them, because, that way ego doesn't get in the way. Well, you're not doing enough. And I just recorded all these things that I've done, and I recorded the sense of ease with which I did them and not a sense of urgency to do another thing right now. So it's like, it's just...
Yeah, it's almost an extension of that feeling heard, right? Wow, someone's really recognizing all these, you know, efforts I'm making to be with Carol, to be present in this time.
And speaking of being heard, I recite the daily recollection every morning, and it's now it's like vibrating. It's like I'm really listening to it. So that's really fun. Yeah,
that is fun. Great. Thank you, Carol.
Yeah, thank you.
Sharon.
Hi.
Hey.
Yeah, a lot of things came up for me on that. As I sat and talked with my neighbor, and I shared how this was for me, how all that I'm going through, like at times it just seems like, oh, this is easy and I'm, you know, not afraid. And then other times when, you know, my God, you know, but what really came up, especially with the how can I assist you, is and what would help me in this time, which hasn't really been bad. I've been living here quite peacefully with my husband, and we're still doing things together, exercising, laughing, all the stuff we normally do. What I feel would help me better is to have some relief from the continuous voices in my head. I mean, it's not like they're once in a while. I mean, I know that I don't always listen. But boy, just take a lapse, forget about it for a little while, and they just pop right back up again.
Absolutely.
And but it's been good because, like, for example, I said something to my husband, and boy, you know, the voices came in, and I went into the yard, and they were saying, geez, you shouldn't have said that, and da-da-da-da-da. And I just, at some point, let it go, let it be okay, love myself, and realize, hey, he knows who I am, he knows how I am, and he loves me anyway. And,
right.
And so I was, you know, looking, being really aware of them, and I find that the thing is with the voices, and also whether it's the voices, I guess it's distraction, because I will forget to do things like cook. Like I have a lot of food in the house, and pretty soon I think, oh shoot, it's too late. I would really like to make a nice dinner, but it's too late because that's in the fridge. It has to be processed, or that's in the freezer, you know. So it's like paying attention, and so if I can have some relief from the voices, and I do get relief because when I do, I can follow my guidance, and I trust that.
Yes. Exactly. And I don't know if this is true for you, Sharon, but in my experience, the space of just noticing, just paying attention, is the thing that grows, we could say, what I want. So in other words, so there you are and you forget to cook, or, you know, there you are and, you know, you say something to your husband. And with that, just observing, like, oh, okay, that's what's, you know, from that neighbor place, right? Oh, there, that's what's going on with my neighbor. And from that place of compassion that we were talking about with Michael, of, yeah, I mean, it's brand new. There's all kinds of change here. The voices are really wanting to take advantage of it. All of those things, if we can just see, got it. Oh, yeah, that's interesting. And to me, what's available in that is I begin to see, say in the case of the dinner, oh, that's funny, that's happened three nights in a row. And then I begin to see, oh, I see how I'm getting set up, actually. It's kind of like we were looking at a little bit with Joyce, right? So if I have a karma to always be behind, well, it's going to constantly talk me into joining things behind, right? So if the groove is to always feel like, oh, I didn't get to cook, then very likely that setup is happening way back earlier in the day, but we're so we don't realize it because we're so distracted by the conversation talking to us about other things, right? It's the same conversation that talks me into saying the thing to my husband is the one that comes back around to say, I can't believe you said that, right? And that's the only reason to say it. It's a whole thing is a giant setup. But if we take out the piece of feeling bad about it, right? Oh, okay, third night in a row. Check that out. Wow. Still didn't have that hot dinner I was hoping for. In my experience, that in itself will begin to open up the play, the insight, the process of just being kind through all of it, and very likely be the thing that gives me access to actually shifting the content if I want to.
Those are some very good points. To pay attention earlier in the day, you know, what is the setup? Am I doing some, like, a lot of things that are not important, and pretty soon I run out of time to take out the cookbook to you know, to really do any planning. So those are good points.
And
the other thing
more
is,
we can do
go
it,
ahead.
Just one other thing with that. The more that we can do that from as if we're peeking in the window of our neighbor's house. So in other words, I'm not going to start watching her to say, well, now see, you're getting distracted by the such and such, and you said you were going to cook dinner, and this is how you're getting set up for the, right? That's a really different process than just simply, okay, I'm just Sherlock Holmes here. I'm fascinated to see how this process is happening, and I'm just going to watch. Not trying to make her be different, not trying to make it all the way it's supposed to be. I'm just going to watch to see.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I can do that. The thing is, I really want to do that. I mean, I've been really preparing some really nutritious food, and it's something I really want to do. So the motivation is there.
Absolutely. And so what you can do is to play the role of that, like we were just looking at in that last imagery, the person who's going to assist Sharon to do that. I mean, maybe you even, I don't know what, set an alarm on your phone in the morning for the two of you to sit down and have a recording around, all right, tell me what you're wanting to cook, and then let's look at how that might unfold in the day. Because not because I think you should cook because that makes you the right person and you said you did what you were going to do, and blah, but from that place of, I love you exactly the way you are, and I want to help you be however you want to be. So if you
want to
cook a lovely dinner, I'm all on board with helping you with that.
Yeah, I want to support you. I want to support you because I know it's really important to you.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, it's really good. I have a lot I could say, but I'll let somebody else come on. And just thanks for doing this. This is really, because another thing that I was saying, how I could be assisted is by getting involved more in practice. I mean, I already do reflective listening, and I listen to the recordings and everything. But so taking more advantage of practice opportunities. So thank you for offering it.
And Sharon, I don't know if you're participating in the year-long retreat, but it occurs to me that that is a brilliant support at this point.
I am.
For folks.
I am, and it's wonderful, and I am.
It really is. Yeah.
Thank
you
so much.
Thank you, Sharon.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Jen.
Hey, well, I want to, a huge thank you. It is such a blessing to have all this stuff going on, and then here's this workshop where we really get to see instead of it just kind of slipping off to unconsciousness and whatever. I'm just deeply grateful for this chance to really stop and look and how can we support ourselves, and so thank you so much. And so there was a lot that I saw, too. I loved that imagery. It was so helpful. And I was looking at, there's kind of a karma for this human is, you know, it's an interesting place. Like, I think there's a genuine desire and really enjoyment in how can I participate? How might I offer support? How might I be of assistance that it feels great, you know, and it's so good for me. I mean, it's that thing of like, I'm the primary beneficiary. Like, it helps so much if I can show up and offer something like that's going to be such a help for me, right? And then I sure hope it maybe is helpful for someone else. So there's all of that. And, you know, as people are saying, at least in this moment, I mean, who knows where this is all going, but in this moment, you know, I'm really fortunate that things, you know, are pretty okay. And, you know, there's so much. So I feel like at this juncture of all this, there's also this opportunity that, you know, the typical schedule is so shaken up and there's a chance. What the person really wants assistance with is like, I feel like there's also a chance to deepen practice and make sure that I don't end up just, you know, getting really busy with a whole bunch of new things that I might be super excited about and I might really love to participate in a way, but like, wow, you know, if there were ever a time to, you know, really get on all the virtual meditations that I can, or, you know, things that like to be quiet, to have more space, like this is that time. And so, I'm just looking at all that.
Boy, Jen, I've been looking at that too. Because I think it was on another call where people were saying things like, you know, so everyone, as well as Andrea said, not everyone has gone home, which is also really important to remember.
Yes.
But a lot of us have.
and a lot of us are home, and someone was making the point of, you know, and yeah, after the first few days were pretty quiet, and now the world of virtual is starting to catch up, right? So now everything's gone online, so it's just this after this after that after that after this. And so really not wanting to just fill that space in the sort of whatever the habitual processes are for each one of us. Like, you know, Mark talked about the doing, or whatever it is. But seeing the opportunity in this to kind of interrupt, and we were talking about that recently on the morning show, the process of interrupting, which is always going to be a huge possibility of conditioned humans, because what gets interrupted potentially is the conditioned process, is conditioning's ability to control us. And so this is a gigantic interruption. And so what I hear you saying is, boy, I'd love to take advantage of that interruption and not just have it covered back over with same process, slightly different content.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, that before I know it, you know, conditioning will just build another, you know, similar thing, yeah. And I'm just, you know, and there's like, mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So to really, I think that word intentionality came up someplace, and it feels so important. And a piece of that, so two things came up around the how to assist, and one was going back to that beautiful workshop that Ashwini led about, you know, kind of laying out the week. Like, that's something that I've always been working with, you know, always. And it feels like, especially now, to really pause, like, before I just kind of, you know, get rolling with a million things and not really checking in, like, huh, is this the, you know, what would be supportive? And before I, yeah, just kind of get involved in all kinds of things, to really look at that. Like, there's the big rocks in a jar, right? I don't know if you've seen that, something about like looking at how you utilize your time. Like, you know, everybody's got the same jar, but if you put the big rocks in first, then all kinds of little rocks can go around. But, you know, to the meditation and the chances to deepen practice, like make sure, without it becoming a whole pressure thing too, but to really look at supporting the human. And then as I lay out, you know, kind of what I want to be working with and committing to in each week, and then with the not making it a pressure or a program or something, people have talked about I don't know if
hang on one second, Jen. I think there may be someone else besides Jen unmuted. So if you think you might be unmuted, if you would go ahead and press *6. Okay, let's give that a go, Jen. Sorry about that.
Okay, no. Yeah, and so it felt like really to be checking in regularly with recording and listening, because what I'm seeing is just to see, like, how's she doing today? Because maybe I'll set something forth on Sunday and be like, yeah, that's a great. Yeah. But then to realize actually on Tuesday, you know, it has really changed and there's a difference and she needs something else. So how can we, you know, to set that up? And I had a great thing of that going. And now, you know, as people are talking about, now that my husband is here all the time and we are in the same space all the time, which is lovely in some ways, but it's also like, how do I find this recording space now? Because, you know, we have a very small apartment and we're in each other's space all the time. So,
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. That is a crucial point. I just love that. I mean, again, if there's anything that's ever demonstrated that to us, it's right now, right? I mean, because I think someone said it in another setting that, you know, I woke up on Sunday with an idea of how my week was going to go, and by Monday, that is not how my week was going to go. And so your point of, you know, we might have these structures, which are great and really support us, and let's go ahead and put them in place, knowing that I want to be, that's not an invitation to go unconscious. It's an invitation to be supported, to be present. And part of that presence is always being ready to pivot, checking in. Like, you know what? That doesn't make sense anymore. I'm in a whole different situation. So what would be supportive now?
Exactly. Yeah. And I think just lastly with it to keep, you know, dropping, I mean, always, right? But especially now to drop the conditioned pressures, because I notice that there's this thing too, like, you know, now is the time to write the novel, to create the work of art. I mean, this crazy thing that comes in with that, too.
Yeah.
Like, if it's just, like, no, you know, like, yeah, to look at deepening practice and staying close with her, sure, but we're not going to, you know, I don't want to let it come into that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that too. And to borrow a phrase from another retreat, urgency is not our friend in any form, right? So as things change so much, it is true that in change, the potential is enormous because all of the pieces are moved around. So, and actually what I just saw in that was putting it together with what you said a minute ago. I wonder if part of it is our intuition as human beings that most of us don't think about it this way, but like, wow, we feel the excitement and the enthusiasm and the freshness of the potential, which is presence, right? Suddenly we all find ourselves in the present, and the intuition is, Eva's going to take it over. It's going to take it over any second now. It's coming in there, right? And I wonder if some of that sort of, there's that initial thing of like, quick, take advantage of all the potential before ego comes in there. And the funny part is that's ego coming in there, right, to get urgent.
Wow,
there's all that potential.
True.
Quick, come in. To...
That's so great. And thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Jen.
Laura C.
Renee. Laura C. And Renee. And then we'll see what time we have after that.
I'm just really happy to be here on the call.
I'm just really working. So the theme of letting the person who's struggling or being impacted talk is actually been a focus of practice for the last little while. And it's, I don't think it's ever been so apparent of how much that doesn't happen.
Yep.
You know, I picked a career where I sit with other people, but man, I don't sit with this person.
Yeah.
And what I saw in the recording exercise was there was this big, strong piece of like, I don't want to go there because it's the only thing keeping like it together. Because if I go there, I'll fall apart.
Right.
And
right.
Just it's just fascinating to watch. Like, so my therapist used to say years ago, it's not a breakdown, it's a breakthrough. So it's not like this is new information. It's just I'm seeing it in a whole different way now.
Yes. Which, again, like we've been talking about, especially in that last conversation with Jen, that's such an opportunity because it's been back there, as you say, the whole time. It has a gigantic impact on our lives all the time. And to suddenly have access to it in a much different and potentially more direct way is such a gift, but doesn't necessarily mean, oh, it's easy and I love it and that's great. And right? It doesn't have to, it doesn't necessarily feel any particular way. It can feel really hard.
Yes, and the higher self or the grander awareness. So I actually can, when you said that, in this, that I could feel, it may not feel good like on a, in that moment, and it does feel like the breaking away of a conditioned response that's really held this human in a place of suffering. So I can see, intelligence can see the bigger picture. I can't always see it, but I can I can sense it.
Yes. Intelligence can see it. I can sense it. And I always take great comfort. I've been thinking about this, and especially the last few exchanges, in realizing, you know, that urgency place of like, God, I got to see this while I have the opportunity. No, I don't. Because it's going to come around, right? Yeah. So it's okay. I don't need to get urgent. I can just keep practicing being here with this
being here with this, being here with this, because here, there's always something. There's always something. And that's all I'm practicing, is being here with this. And the things that need to cycle around will cycle around.
Yeah. And the biggest, like, I feel like I appreciated, you know, I've just appreciated everybody sharing, because I get to hear a piece of all of it, is just being with where I'm at now. Because I've also been really struggling with technology. I know I'm not alone in this, but it's like I usually listen to recordings when I go to sleep and when I wake up, but for some reason, just technology has just been very challenging. And so I've just been kind of just humming to myself, like, it's okay, just breathe, I love you, you're doing the best you can, even if I can't get an access to a recording in the moment. And it just feels like sometimes, like, I'm just getting through each moment until I can get, you know, until the next, and the next, and the next.
And just being with her in that, right? Just being with her in that. And, you know, giving her a place to put her attention. Because all those places, you know, I'm just getting through it. I'm just surviving. I'm, you know, those are ways I would project that the voices are trying to frame it. You know, I mean, if we were the neighbor looking in on her with, you know, I'm guessing at home with, you know, three other people and, you know, hard circumstances and all of that, we might frame it, wow, that's pretty grateful, what's going on there. You know, I mean, it's just, who's framing it as, you know, the way it's getting framed, basically. And the other little thing that occurs to me, Laura, as you're talking, is, you know, realizing, first of all, how lovely it is that, okay, so, yes, I have recording and listening, and suddenly something happens with my technology, and what I realize I have is the process of, I love you, okay, let's breathe together. And then from that, to me, comes the ability to see, okay, well, on tomorrow's list, the highest priority is, what do I need to do to get her a recording device? I don't care what it is, right? Do I have to FedEx it from the Because that's it's the highest priority.
It's already on
whatever
order.
I have to. Yeah, there you go.
Yep. It's already on order.
Perfect.
So thank you.
Thank you, Laura. Renee, we have a couple of minutes.
Okay, I'll keep it quick. Just noticed during the imagery something I hadn't seen, so that's what I want to do is see these things I'm not seeing right now.
Yes, exactly.
My main goal. And so if you can name it as a goal, but so I just saw this underlying anxiety that I hadn't seen. And just sort of like a survival sort of feeling, you know, just underneath everything, you know, and I just wanted to bring it up because, you know, I could feel like the energy in my body is different. It feels a bit negative, maybe, you know, not, it feels negative. Maybe negative or unsettling or something like that. And so just
and are you,
go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, are you saying that you realized that that's been going on, but you hadn't really realized it was going on until we were doing these exercises? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, I think I kind of had a little glimpse of it, but I hadn't really looked at it or called it out or, you know, voiced it or anything. So, and so it sort of feels almost like a, like you're, like someone, or I project an animal that's being hunted, or, you know, sort of like it's triggering a survival part of the brain, maybe physiologically, or, and so I think with awareness practice, which we're all operating out of our survival systems from a conditioned sort of place, with this, it could be triggering some other, you know, hierarchical needs or something that, we could look at and be aware of as we move through our lives right now, and just to give compassion to the person who's feeling all of that, experiencing that. Yeah. And
Yes, exactly. It takes me back to what Laura was starting us off towards the beginning of the call today, of just that place of a grief process was what we were talking about in that conversation. Mm-hmm. But in other words, not to realize, wow, it's big. It's so big. And not to have any, to realize that that's very likely having all kinds of impacts on us that we don't, that aren't even on levels we don't see.
Right, right.
And so to have that compassion, to have that patience with ourselves and everyone else around us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we have practice. You know, a lot of people don't.
Exactly.
And,
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, all that's going on at the same time, grief and just whatever. It's so big we can't really get our minds around it, our awareness around it. Yeah, truly.
And so to realize we want to really be with, you know, we want to be in compassion. That's who we want to be home with. We want to be home in compassion.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that, tying it back to the title, and I love the exercise. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Renee. And so as we begin to come to a close, we'd ask you to look to see what's one word or phrase that drops in to describe what you and your neighbor got to in terms of how she or he would like it to be. So if you were to jot down a word or phrase, and maybe it didn't come up in the conversation you had in the exercise, maybe it did, but maybe it's something that's come up as you've listened to other folks speak during the course of the workshop. But a word or a phrase that describes what you and your neighbor got to in terms of how you'd like it to be, we could say. And jot that down. You could also say how you'd like to practice being in this time. And then to jot down one simple way the two of you can work together to assist with that over this next period of time. And if you want to jot down the period of time for you, that's great. Not necessary, but could be today, could be this week, whatever time frame seems to make sense to you. But to jot down one simple way the two of you can work together to be assisted in practicing how you'd like to be. And then we have a few minutes if there are a handful of folks who would like to let us know what was your word or phrase and what's one simple way you can work together with your metaphorical neighbor to assist over the next period of time.
Jan. Laura B.
Phil.
Jan,
Laura B., and then Phil, and then we'll see where we are.
Nancy?
Yeah.
Anyway, so grateful for all of this. It actually was two words that came up. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, I can. Thanks, Jan.
Okay. Acknowledging and accepting. It seemed like they just go hand in hand, that
absolutely.
The exercises brought that, the acknowledging, which oftentimes is missing, and the accepting that with practice goes hand in hand with that.
Yeah, if folks who are in the queue but not speaking yet could mute, that would be great. We're hearing some background noise. So the acknowledging and the acceptance feel like they go hand in hand, you were saying, Jan?
Yeah, and then the second part of it, I just love the last exercise. So for me, to embrace that acknowledging, accepting, to do the exercise at least, our last one, at least once a day. Out of love for this neighbor.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Out of love for this neighbor. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you.
Laura B.
Yeah, my phrase was acceptance and compassion. Because that's really what I've been struggling with, is accepting the denial that other people are in, or that I project other people are in. And so compassion for all. And the tool is check-ins through recording and listening.
Mm. Yeah, so good, right? Because then you get to actually see what's going on. You get to practice bringing it into acceptance. And then with that comes the compassion.
Hopefully.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it certainly is our experience, isn't it? That when something moves into presence. Yeah. Great. Thank you, Laura.
Thank you.
Phil, and then I did hear Nancy after Phil.
Yeah, I guess my phrase is just grateful to be alive. I am so grateful. And it's like, you know, going to the brink and coming back, and everything is a new shining beginning. And I just want, the way I'll do it is just to keep practicing being present and here and not letting, negativity come in. And because I know, I feel so grateful and loving right now, but, it doesn't take much where conditioning could throw a loop into it. But just to be aware of that and just keep accepting.
Just be aware of that. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Keep accepting. I was taking notes around that. So that fabulous quote, it's something along the lines of a Sherry Huber quote of, when we accept that we're resisting, then we're in acceptance, not resistance.
Exactly.
Right? So if we just keep whatever it is, right? You mean, ego's working hard to shut this whole thing down for you right now, for all of us. It's back there, making its game plan. And it, sooner or later, it will, be able to throw whatever monkey wrench it throws. But if we can stay in acceptance of that, that's freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And not
that's
be
right.
afraid that it's doing that. Sure, it's doing that. Of course it's doing that. What else is it going to be doing?
Yeah. And not being afraid of, like of the monkey wrench. When you feel the extreme end of that and can accept and go through it, you can do it.
Exactly. Yeah. And we need those things, not because we're not already wildly adequate to all of it, but because we don't realize we're wildly adequate to it. So those huge challenges are the things that show us what's already true.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm just having a really enjoying living in gratitude. Mm.
Thank you for
this.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And Nancy.
Yeah, that was very good. I could ditto that. And for me, the words that came to me through a couple of the different exercises was giving back. I felt like I feel like I have received so much in this past couple of weeks that I want to give back. And what I realized was I don't think there was any time that I felt abandoned. There were some really dark and lonely moments in the middle of the night at the hospital, and it was like I drew on my practice, and it was like I wasn't alone. I was there. I was doing exactly what I'd been doing for the last 35 years. I was with myself and being compassionate and taking care of myself. So I just feel so grateful. And would like to give back in some way. So I'm planning on, I don't know how, but I'm definitely got my ears open and my mind open as to how that might happen.
Well,
I'll just speak for myself, Nancy, and I have a feeling I could speak on behalf of everyone on this call. I would say by saying what you just said, you already began the journey of, quote, giving back.
Thank you. And I love this workshop. It's great.
It's so extraordinary. And, I mean, what you and Phil are both pointing at, both having been through the illness yourselves and coming out the other side, is such an illustration of what we've been saying all throughout this workshop and throughout this time, which is that as a Sangha, we are literally going to go through all of it. And for you to illustrate for us, and Phil has spoken to it too, to have practice be there in those times, really, for me anyway, it just ups that the ability to see the gift that practice is to all of us, and to remind us of how important it is that we're constantly building that muscle. As someone quoted a few days ago, as Sherry says, these are the times we're practicing for. We're practicing in all times, so that in these times, that practice is available to us.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And it does. It comes right. You're right. It's right there with you. So.
Because you've practiced it. Yeah. And just one last connection with that, Nancy, which is that, you know, I kept thinking as you were saying, wanting to give back, gratitude wants to give. And it's such a beautiful illustration of how when we're present, we experience, we feel being given to, and then we do want to participate. And so to live in a world where everyone, I think it's what Sherry's pointing at, with that make everyone feel the love that makes us want to love. Right? Because that's what you're describing. You felt that love. And so now it makes you tremendously grateful and completely ready to offer in whatever way you might be asked to offer.
Absolutely. Thank you for verbalizing that.
Thank you, Nancy. And thank you, everyone, so much. I do want to just say, again, we mentioned it in passing, but there are a lot of people on this call today. I mean, I think record numbers of any Sangha thing we've ever done. And so to remind people that we do this every single morning, Sherry and Ashwini walk us through the year-long retreat curriculum where we have assignments, we have a focus for the day. It gives structure to our whole day in terms of a place to put attention. And then Monday through Friday, we come together 9 a.m. Pacific time for a half hour and get to hear from Sangha what people are seeing on the assignment. And it's always a lifeline. And I think for the years we've been doing it, people talk about the exponential transformation that's available to us in it. But especially now, I just wish that for everyone, that we have that, you know, that way of coming together and supporting ourselves and one another. So thank you so much to everyone for being with us today. And we're going to continue these workshops over the coming Saturday. So watch for information about those. Take really good care.